Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux the Rest of Us, episode 155. This is a show about Linux. We cover all sorts of topics in relation to Linux and open source, whether it be hardware, software, all sorts of fun stuff. I am Cody Cooper, a.k.a. The Ice Machine, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, as I am every week that I'm here, anyway. Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Good, especially considering it's less than 2 working days away from me leaving for NELF.
I'm itchy. I'm itchy all over just thinking about it.
Well, see, I'm a guy, I don't believe the check's in the mail or anything until it's at my house, you know what I mean? I'm not mentally excited for it until I'm literally on the bus. That's when I know, okay, now it's going to take a disaster for this not to happen.
Well, you know what I have going on in my life, and I'm just, I'm holding my breath until I get on the plane.
Well, you better make sure she holds her breath, too.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are going to happen at NELF, we have a guest here this evening, which was unbeknownst to me until I entered the hangout, but he's an awesome dude. Our good friend Chad Wallenberg from Health Nuts. How's it going, Chad?
Greetings and salutations. It's going well.
Very cool. Yeah, I basically he just finished up an episode of Health Nuts, and I basically badgered him to come on. So I did my
duty. No, that's not true. I badgered you, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
I said, hey, I already got this set up. Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, Door's a pushover, so I doubt there was any badgering involved.
That's right.
It doesn't take much at all. I will say I'm jealous. I'm mildly jealous of both of you guys because you're both flying up. I'm willing to bet that my bus ride is almost going to be as long as Cody's plane trip.
Yeah, I'm taking a red eye, although I'll have Martin Rambo Obando with me, so he'll get to listen to me snore at his at his elbow. And quite frankly, I can't wait to scare some people on that plane with how bad my septum is.
Good man.
I thought maybe it might seem weird if I get on the plane with one of my Breathe Right strips on, and I just thought, but I don't really care what people think of me, so I'm just going to wing it.
Exactly. If they don't like it, they should have taken a different flight.
That's right.
Now, super quick, before we get started, I will say I completely forgot that we do have a voicemail. I do not know if you want to play that right now or you want to hold off.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been a long time coming, so let's just do it right now.
Okay.
My name is Dustin Allen, and I'm somewhere in Indiana. I really enjoy the show. I had called and left a message a while back, and Dora had responded, but I never heard my question on the show. And I think it's a question that a lot of people that run Linux would benefit from knowing the answer to. I currently run Linux Mint 16 on an Acer laptop, and I love it. The problem I'm having is that my laptop, like many, has an NVIDIA graphics card. Uses the infamous Optimus system, which my limited understanding about that system is that it has the ability under Windows to kick the graphics card down to using an Intel graphics card when you're wanting to consume power and switch the graphics card to the full-fledged NVIDIA graphics card when you want performance. I leave my laptop at home, and so power is not an issue. I would much rather have the performance benefit of using the NVIDIA graphics card. Some systems, I don't think very many of them, have the ability to select which graphics card you're using in the BIOS. Mine does not. And I understand that there's a project called Bumblebee, and I'm kind of a newbie, so when I started messing with it, I kind of killed my system. I think I ended up hurting the X server, which is the display server. So if you guys could talk about, you know, that on a level that I know what the best solution would be to get the full benefits of the NVIDIA system under Linux Mint, I would appreciate it. Another thing that I think you guys might want to mention, and maybe you have, and I apologize because I'm a little bit behind, for those that enjoy the benefit of having an image of your system so that when you do destroy it, it makes it easy to restore it, I found a software called Redo Backup to be very user-friendly from a newbie standpoint. CloneZilla is very powerful, but I find a little bit intimidating. And Redo Backup is a very simple system, and I've found it to be very effective. So if you would, if you find it beneficial to have my question on the air for the benefit of those that are in my circumstances, feel free to use my question, and I look forward to the answer. Keep presenting great shows, and I'll be a continued listener. Thank you very much for your time. Bye.
All right. Well, thank you for sending that in. The only machines I've installed Linux on either have ATI or Intel graphics, aside from my old MacBook, my old white MacBook, which is the first machine I installed Linux on, and then my old iMac G5. So I have yet to actually mess with or attempt to get something like that installed with NVIDIA. But this does remind me about something that was talked about on a recent Podnuts meetup, where is it the new Lenovo Yoga? Is that the name of it, Dor?
Yes, yeah. Sir. The Yoga 2.
The Yoga 2, yeah. But Windows can utilize, I guess the GPU to make the resolution on the screen much, much better. But if you put anything else on it, it's just it drops down to like a standard 1920x1080. Am I wrong about that, Dor?
It was that, and something to do with color reproduction wasn't accurate with the yellows.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, do you have any suggestions for him as far as, I remember hearing in passing that project he mentioned, but I have yet to play with it myself.
I will say there is no good solution for this issue, period, bar none. NVIDIA has not pushed a working Linux driver for this type of video card, which essentially is two video cards in one, Intel and NVIDIA, dynamically on the fly in Windows. It senses when it's needed to be high performance or low performance, thus saving power. On Linux, you either get one or the other, and that's when you can select it in BIOS. And I only know one guy that has this card, and he says it's horrible, it sucks. If you put it in NVIDIA mode, it basically, the fan never stops running, laptop gets extremely hot, and if you put it in Intel mode, then you don't get the benefits of the graphics. I will say I've heard very bad things about Bumblebee, but I know Bumblebee is still a quote-unquote newer solution. And it looks like Chad put a link here in the chat, didn't you?
Yeah, I was just quickly looking up the solution, and that's what I came up with, the PPA for Bumblebee.
Yeah, I will say, something tells me the desktop / distro that you select will directly affect the Bumblebee performance. So I would literally suggest, like this link that will be in the notes, it says how to get NVIDIA Optimus in Mint 13, 14, 15. So if you're on 16, I would seriously go back to 15, try it again. I would suggest XFCE as your desktop versus Cinnamon, because Cinnamon is technically quote-unquote experimental. It's still not done. I hear a couple people talking about lockup issues or random desktop restarting kind of thing. And I will say, at least in the forums, it says that I mentioned Redo Backup back on episode 40 of Linux for the Rest of Us.
So oh, yeah.
Redo Backup has been around for a long time. I will say, fantastic tool because it uses part image as its engine. So it just works, and it works really well, but it has an interface that quite literally is just easy to use. No thought really involved. You basically click boxes, check boxes, click OK, and it does the work for you. And I'll say I had great success with it versus where Clonezilla, where once in a while I cloned the wrong way. This app will actually warn you if you try to clone the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So that's a plus.
Yeah, I've seen screenshots of that GUI, and it is very nice. And let me tell you, and I'm sure anybody that has thought about using either Redo or Clonezilla has thought this too. You know what? If I click one wrong button or put in one wrong command, my whole drive is toast.
Yeah.
It's completely wiped. So that being very important, having backups is good. But yeah, having that kind of a fallback warning system like that is very good. Let's dig a little bit deeper into this voicemail. I don't want to go on too long, but okay. From the sound of it, you already had this laptop, potentially came with Windows, and you put Linux on it, which means that you didn't make a decision to buy it based on the hardware, which is something, I know you didn't want to hear this, but it's something that everybody needs to consider if they are buying a laptop off the shelf from the store to potentially look into the hardware compatibility. And that being said, I'm sure that you are very much trying to just get the bang for your buck and use all the hardware in your machine, as you should. You paid for it. But what are you doing that would require you to absolutely need that NVIDIA functionality? Because everything that I do, most of it I can use just the regular Intel chipset in it, and it runs just fine. Aside from maybe high-end gaming or high-def video. What kind of cards do you have in yours again, Dor?
Mine are all Intel graphics. The one laptop I have, which is old, has a NVIDIA chipset in it.
Yeah. So it may be that the Intel will suit your needs just fine. That being said, it does stink that you have a better card in there. You just can't utilize it. But please try following the link that Chad put in our chat, and we'll have that in the show notes, because if you can get Bumblebee to work and get some performance out of it, and I know that NVIDIA a couple months back has basically committed to making their compatibility with Linux better after a certain someone gave a hand gesture, which that photo went the world over, I'll tell you what. But yeah, please try Bumblebee with that link. See if you can get it working, and please report back, because if it's going to work for you or if it doesn't work for you, I'm sure the rest of our listeners would want to know.
Well, not to belabor this more, but like years and years ago, NVIDIA made the same commitment. But honestly, I have a lot of good luck with NVIDIA on Linux. It just happens that this particular card is nasty.
Well, it's combination. It's nasty, and his BIOS doesn't support switching off the Optimus and just sticking right with one of the cards. Right. That, I think, is the flaw. It's combination hardware and software. I'll say, dare I say, if this card was more hardware, we as a community would probably see better support with it. It seems like it's not in a lot of devices, and the one guy I know that had it in his device, it was a company laptop. He literally said, I will gladly take a weaker laptop. Just give me one without this Optimus card in it. He was that upset in the fact he knew he wasn't getting full performance. He would rather have something where he knew he was getting the full performance, even though it was less.
Which was exactly to your point, Cody. I have an old Dell. They used to make these little form factor boxes that lately I used to run CentOS on it and run an Asterisk box on it. And lately we in the house have been messing around with retro gaming on Linux. And I tried to get this thing working. And for some reason, CentOS, just base, no GUI, command line, I can get the NIC working. It's a Broadcom NIC. And this is an old machine. You would think there'd be driver support out there. But to your point, like, if you're going to buy a machine and use it for Linux, make sure you've got the supported drivers out there in the community. It just didn't work for me.
Yeah, and I don't want to belabor the fact, but don't forget, people, we still have plenty of Think Penguin coupon codes available. If you want one, email me. No contest, no tweet needed, no question answered. Just ask me for a code. I got no problem shipping them out. I don't want to say the best fix for this is a quote-unquote Franklin fix, a.k.a. money spent, but some cases with Linux and hardware, there is no applicable solution. Thankfully, it's much less these days as it was even a couple years ago, but this Optimus card is definitely making lots of people very upset right now.
Speaking of upset, my Audacity crashed again.
Oh.
And I did my test that you suggested, and it ran for 2 hours and with no trouble.
Right.
And I went to recover it, and it said could not recover, and then a bunch of gobbledygook.
If it can't recover, that tells me it almost has to be a temper var issue getting filled with where it can't recover. I'm thinking. Okay. I don't know. I'm guessing.
So we just want to continue and then use the chat audio or the Hangout audio?
Yeah, we'll just use the Hangout audio, worst case.
Okay. I apologize. We'll figure something out.
No problem. Okay, you had the next link you wanted to talk about.
Yes. This is something I wanted to bring up for a while now. It kept getting pushed back. I've spoken in the past about a tool that I used, like to use in all my Ubuntu systems called Ubuntu Tweak, and it adds some extra functionality to the interface to able to manage Windows, kind of snap them all onto the desktop, minimize them all, and click on them, have them maximize a bunch of different tweaks. You're talking hundreds of different things. But it was exclusive to Ubuntu. Fedora now has something very similar called Fedi. It's F-E-D-I. D-Y, and we'll have a link in the show notes. And this seems like a beta release. It may have actually gone to a 1.0 by now, but something very similar for Fedora users. So if you've recently started using Fedora and are maybe using GNOME 3 or XFCE on an older, lighter weight system, and you want to have something to add a little bit of flash to your system, add a little bit of extra functionality to your system. I would try Fedi. I don't have a system with Fedora on it, but I watched some videos on YouTube, and I saw the screenshots with the article. It looks really neat.
Very cool. I'll say, don't get me wrong, Ubuntu Tweak is one of those tools you almost have to have it to get a lot of extra features and configurability on Ubuntu. Fedora tries to be quote-unquote capital F free, it seems like, with a lot of things. So I would think this tool would be more beneficial to have versus Ubuntu Tweak. I'm not going to lie, this tool alone is making me want to install Fedora in a VM and give it a go.
Well, you can install Fedora in a VM on a system that has Fedora on it.
I'll pass.
You just really hate hats. That's the problem.
No, I just don't. I'm too lazy to take the time to find out if every single RPM file I stumble across is a Fedora RPM, OpenSUSE RPM, Red Hat RPM, or whatever kind of distro it was quote-unquote crafted for. I would think Fedora would have FDM. OpenSUSE would have OPM. You know what I mean? But no, they all use RPM, which just confuses my petty brain.
Did you hear that just now? That was Matt Enders screaming at the top of his lungs right now. Something involved with, you don't know what you're talking about, and I'm sure he's already sent you links as far as how to overcome those supposed issues.
No. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. It should my job to literally inspect every package. Hence, I use Debian. Why? Because if it says .deb, it seems to always work. No issues.
There you go. I didn't mean to interrupt your rant. By all means, continue.
Yeah, and I would say, I personally have nothing against Fedora. I want Fedora to succeed, just not on my computers. And with that, there's nothing anyone can really say bad about Debian. It's Debian. It's the backbone, in my opinion, of Linux.
It comes earlier in the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
D4F. There's a lot of good things to say about Debian.
It uses Toy Story character names. What could be bad?
For releases, yep.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad, are you siding with mommy or daddy on this?
Oh, I wasn't listening. I was totally talking in the chat. See, that's why I should have never gone in the chat.
I knew you were in the chat because you weren't looking at that monitor, and I threw it to you on purpose. So shame on you.
Sorry. I'm entertaining the locals, man.
Oh, come on. No, hey, the guys in the chat, they deserve some extra attention because they are here every week.
Nice. You got a good crew.
They are more consistent than me lately, but I'm gonna beat them in the long haul.
It's all about longevity.
That's right. Here's a very appropriate analogy. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
I know, but I get tired quick. Okay, I will say 99.99999% of everything I talk about, hear about, learn about, I get from surprising other people. And this is an example of it. I never thought of this, but what if you use Windows at work and Linux at home, or your wife has a Mac computer, you have a Linux box. What if you desired to have the same interface on all those systems to browse files? And the only previous thing I thought was literally in a shell or a command prompt using what was it called? Total Commander. Here's an app called Double Commander that is available on SourceForge, and it looks like completely cross-platform file browser, aka exact same experience, quote-unquote, cross-operating systems. I like the idea of this. Me, not going to use Mac at Windows. They're trying to limit my privileges, but let's just say I know ways around that. So I actually might install this at work just to give it a shot on a Windows box, see how it looks. But I like the idea of it. I don't know if I would use it, but I like the idea of it. And I have to thank Dan over at Nightwise Google Plus community for the link to this, and it is GUI based. That's the thing I forgot to mention.
I'm looking at this, and is it just a double pane file manager? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, that's the gist of it. It took the Midnight Commander-esque style, just a double pane window with F keys doing a lot of functions between it. So you can have a GUI file browser with function keys to perform a lot of tasks on three different operating systems.
Okay.
Conformity, I think, is the word I'm looking for. Conformity.
All right. Consistency, not conform.
Whatever.
Okay, I'm just going to go along with what this guy's doing over here, because everybody else is.
I'll go for that. I'm with you on that, yeah.
Well, you can conform to my drinking habits in Elf. That's fine.
I can only attempt. I cannot promise anything.
Good luck.
Yes. So, we haven't plugged Nelf yet, have we?
A little. It's mildly.
Well, a little.
The main reason I didn't want to spend too much time on it is I don't know if this show is going to get published even before Nelf.
Now it has to be.
Yeah, now it has to be.
Let's put the pressure on. Let's do this.
Yep. Well, yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault that he didn't get last week's show on time. So,
thank you for being a man, Cody. I didn't want to say nothing.
I am. I fully admit that.
I never said you weren't.
I know. Yeah, so let's make enough references to make sure he does have to do it this week.
That's right. Let's talk about Nelf.
I want to talk.
Are you doing a talk, Cody?
I'm gonna be on the Ask the Geek panel, but I'm not a talk. I can't. I'm not doing a talk this year. Jonathan has banned me
from
doing any talks. No, he hasn't. I'm just kidding. No. They have one day this year instead of two. So the schedule ran a little light, and he asked if I would mind giving up my spot because he didn't guarantee me to talk, and I said that's fine. But yeah, we will be doing a panel, and when I say we, the three of us, Dor, Chad, and I, potentially Tracy Holtz, Martin Obando will be there, and then it'll be hosted by Russ the Beast Winter.
I'm on a panel?
Surprise!
You didn't know that before.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
There's free beer involved. Why would you?
Whatever, I'm good.
I need to sit
what
between
are we talking
and Martin.
About?
It's just going to be questions, and it's going to be a Q&A panel. It's going to be a lot of stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So like a 13-year-old girl is going to ask Chad, when you were young, did people call you a nerd?
Dude, I was a music major. I was such a nerd.
Dor's making a great reference to an awesome Will Wheaton clip.
Sorry.
That was a great clip. But I will say, people didn't call me a nerd. People pounded nerd into my face with their fist.
So,
just a little bit different there.
I find that hard to believe.
Listen, when I was younger, I could run 2.8 miles in under 15 minutes because I was so well prepared when I was younger. Let's just leave that at that.
I could run 2.8 miles, but it's going to be a lot longer than 15 minutes. Yeah. I'm going to have to be sprinting towards something I want, not away from something, because at that point I just lay down and I'm like, just get it over with.
I can hobble anywhere.
This was a lifetime ago, I'll just say that. I will say one of the talks that I'm definitely interested in now, specifically because he changed his topic, is, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, Chad, Paul Asador?
Paul Asadorian.
Paul Asadorian from what was formerly called Paul.com.
Right.
Now it's called Tenable Showcase or something.
Yeah, which makes sense. He works for Tenable, which is what we talked about in Nessus on the server show last week. So yeah, I mean, whatever you think about Paul, he is actually a phenomenal security expert and does know a lot about Linux. So I'm really interested in that for sure.
Well, his talk changed. It was originally about vulnerabilities in Android and how it's so wide open, how susceptible it is. But he changed it to base security needs on embedded Linux.
I'm
much more interested to hear that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd be interested either way, but that's a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
I kept teasing Jonathan saying I was going to heckle his talk if it was about Android. But of course I wouldn't dare do that. He would just school me, so I'm not even going to do that. But there's more than a couple good speakers who are going to be there. I can say that.
Yeah, now not to pimp anything out, but I heard a really cool guy who normally does talks at Southeast Linux Fest is
Dan Fry,
an open source talk on open source and education. I don't know who he is, but I'm sure it's going to be really good.
I don't know. Dan Washko?
No, he's not. He's not going to make it. It's one of those guys, though. One of those.
Well, I hope all of them show up. Moving on.
Well, yeah. Chad's going to give a talk. And to be honest, I saw Chad talk twice on. It was like, I don't want to say YouTube, but back in the day, you put up.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it is anything like that, then everyone will be more than entertained and educated. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thank you. I've honed this talk quite a bit, so I think we'll be okay.
Hey, this is my third time giving this talk, so hey, here
you are. Same as you.
And I will say, I just learned tonight, and I'm genuinely excited for this one. Dan Fry is going to make it up for at least an evening.
He's trying anyway. He said no promises.
Oh, he said he was. Don't tell me he's going to pull back now.
He said no promises. His wife works on weekends, so he's going to try to get the grandparents to watch the kids one night.
Good luck with that.
Well, Dan, I will extend this offer to you, as I have to Dorm many times. If you need me to talk to your wife to straighten her out for the weekend, I will do that. Oh, worst case scenario, she never talks to me or you again.
Or best case, whichever you want to.
Yeah, and I will say the only two parts that are... Now there's two parts that are genuinely making me sad about this Nelf is one, no Klaatu. Klaatu is a really smart guy that I just like conversating with for at least a couple minutes here and there.
Yes.
And Murph. And Murph ain't going to make
Murph's
it.
Murph's not going to make it?
Murph said he can't make it. Today,
yeah. Oh, I love Murph, man.
I know. No Murph.
But we will have Richard Hughes there for eight
that
hours.
That makes Chad's night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I love Rich. He's cool, man. I'm happy to meet him.
Well, he's committed to buying kegs of beer with Ghost Bitcoin.
Yeah, with the Bitcoin that he
bought. Even better. I love Rich, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'll say in typical fashion, at least in my experience, there will be a HPR presence. Pokey is definitely going to be there. I think NY Bill is going to be there again. And one other guy, I thought. Chris from Think Penguin was there last year. I got the impression he's going to be there again this year. So if you want to get hands-on with Think Penguin hardware, perfect chance for that.
And we found a new gathering place for buying supplies.
Yeah.
Supreme Liquors.
Supreme. Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's literally like, 8-minute walk.
That's not going to happen for me. Do you guys know any of the vendors that are going to be there? I mean, is there a floor where vendors show up, or how's that work?
I know HP, Google, Red Hat.
But SUSE was there last year.
Yeah, SUSE was there last year.
Yeah, let me go check.
I think there's going to be a Fedora table.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a Fedora table because they're having like a mini FUDCon at the same time.
Uh-huh. Nice. Gotcha.
Or not. No, I know.
Nick, who some of you know, the last known guy, he actually works for Linode, and he's going to be there, but I haven't heard if they're actually going to have a table there.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I can finagle a deal.
Exactly, dude. That's what I'm saying. You know, Linode actually offered me to sponsor the podcast back when I did my first self.
Well, okay, now you have a responsibility after the show. You said the show is going to get published. Well, now you have a job. Go through your email. Give me that contact email.
Oh, dude, that was 5 years ago. I don't know that. But I mean, he works for them. You're going to be rooming with him, so we're good.
I don't know if he can give me a sponsorship deal.
But he can probably work on it for you.
Even better. I'll happily buy him a beer.
What do I have to do before to ensure this show gets released before NELF?
Promise me an Egg McMuffin? I don't know. I'm easy.
I'll figure it out.
Covered. Let's see.
Bacon.
with ghost Bitcoin. Wink.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. We have the other file manager that now I can't remember the name, but it's been too long. There's another. See, the one thing about Linux that I like is there's always something in development. There's always something to look forward to. There's always something that could be a competitor here in a very short period of time. I saw this, and there were certain things I liked about it, except for the help about page, and it's called Sunflower. It's a file manager. Here's the main reason I like it. Not because it's split pane, and not because it defaults to detailed view, which are two things I kind of like because I always switch my stuff to that, but it actually has genuine plugin architecture. I'm a firm believer if an app that has plugin architecture gets any momentum, it's going to get a lot of momentum because people can then chip in with custom hacks and tweaks to make the file manager do things it wasn't either intended to do, or just enhancements to make what it can do better. So let's just say I'm going to install this puppy, give it a go, see how it works, and I look forward to updates to it in the future. Ooh, customizable keyboard shortcuts. Giddy, 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 giddy.
That is neat.
Yeah, I don't want to say I hate using a mouse. If I like awesome window manager, okay? I like Kupfer. Kupfer? Kupfer.
You said Kupfer. It right the first time.
Okay.
Now what's Jonathan's last name?
T-Nado. Jonathan T-Nado. Because it sounds like tornado.
There you go.
But if I can customize all my keyboard commands, all my actions that I need to do with any repetition, that's a plus. Because taking the time to put my hand over to the mouse, find where the mouse pointer is at, and go to where I need to go is not something I like doing.
It's switching modes, and the least you can do it, the better, especially when you're trying to do stuff quickly. Yeah, at work, I have to do a lot of training, and I keep telling them, don't even touch a mouse. I'm to the point where I just want to, like, unplug it or, like, cut the cord. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's not working anyway. Keep hitting tab.
Right. Yeah, I will say you can get a straight deb file, or you can install it via a quote-unquote PPA. But I also found out on the bottom of this page, there's a link to the same Tux Arena domain, and the post is entitled 20 File Managers for Ubuntu. If you cannot find a file manager that you like out of that list, you basically will never be happy. I don't know what to tell you.
I need to look at that. I've always just used stock, where it's Nautilus in Ubuntu, right?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Nautilus. I'll put that in air quotes. It works.
Right, but I mean, if you can find one that's going to suit your needs better, perhaps have, you know, because I mean, when it comes to file manager, you know, I think a lot of people would just prefer something functional over something too pretty.
Well, yes, I agree. Most people in file managers desire function over form. There is exceptions to the rules. And what I mean by that is the ability to browse Samba shares or WebDAV shares in a file manager, people seem to like, but not everybody. So, you know, it's a question of finding the file manager that does what you need without being too heavy or too slow. Because like one flaw with Nautilus, I will tell you, if you have it installed for a long period of time, there's a hidden folder in your home called .cache, I believe, where all the thumbnail images that it creates to display in the file manager itself basically never get deleted. So literally, if you're a graphics guy with a lot of graphics on your system, you could literally have gigs of cached thumbnails on your hard drive and not even know it.
Oh, wow.
But it takes a while for that stuff to build up, literally like a year plus.
So, like, if you don't shut down your machine and don't do any updates for 2 or 3 months.
Oh, no, you can shut down and you can do all the updates you want. It doesn't matter. It does not clear them out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know. But if you're like me and you install too frequently, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Yep.
Okay. I've heard too many people quote on this, speak on this without... So, I have to. I say that. I have to. The Linux Foundation has offered classes for a long time on learning Linux, getting certified. The majority of the classes cost money, and some of them cost a pretty penny. Like this one called Intro to Linux is basically a $2,400 class that will be hosted this summer on edX. edX is one of the university conglomerations offering some, I don't want to say classes, courses, course material online. You don't get certification for it in the sense like you're going to college, but at least you get to know it and you can get a cert saying you took this online class. But I'm going to say this. Everyone keeps saying how it's free, 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 and they chant and they cheer and they rave. I went through the link. I clicked the link. I clicked enroll. I put my details in. Then it told me, give me $250. I clicked the other box and I said, I give you zero. And I hit submit and it would not let me continue unless I gave them at least, I believe if I read it right, $250. Now, maybe it's because I'm old, because I put in my real birthday. Maybe they only want young kids to take this. Maybe my email is blacklisted on edX because it's so close to Jonathan, they just don't like me. But whatever the reason is, they would not let me take this course for free. They insisted I pay $250, but the class is worth so much, I highly encourage everyone to at least try it and see if they can get in for free.
Oh, yeah, no, it seems like a really good value. And, yeah, and if it's successful, then they're going to consider putting more of their courses up on edX for free. So,
yeah,
can't hurt.
Well, yeah, in hindsight, I might have waited too long because this was literally announced on March the 9th, I believe. March the 8th.
3 weeks.
Maybe I waited too long. I do not know. I just know I click it. I go through it. It's a give me money. So,
you know. Well, maybe I'll go try it. That's what I'll do before this show. That'll be one of the contingencies for this show being put up before NELF is that I have to go try to register for this free course.
Gotcha. I will say I'm not a certification fan in general terms because people believe certification means you know something. What certification means is you put the time forth to go through with something. You know what I mean? But I do think for personal growth and personal knowledge, everyone should try to get certified when they can. Because right now, like for instance, I have zero certifications, nothing, not a cert to my name. And now I'm a quote unquote solutions architect at my job. Not that I even understand really what that title means, but I'm one.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, something tells me Chad doesn't need a class like this.
Probably not, no.
I'm trying to sign up right now.
Okay. Oh, well, let us know what happens. Yeah. Speaking of Linux education, I think this is a perfect time to talk about another form of information that our listeners can utilize in order to broaden their Linux horizons.
Linux Academy.
There you go.
I didn't talk about it. No, I didn't.
No, not yet.
No, I will say Linux Academy is a proud sponsor of Northeast Linux Fest. That literally warms my heart because I like seeing two groups of people doing good, quote unquote, joining forces. Linux Academy by far is the best bang for the buck education you can get with Linux.
And it's what asking I mean by me for $2,600.
Well, there you go. Okay. I'm not the only one then. So that kind of sucks, Chad. Well, for a lot less than $2,600, you can go to the Linux Academy for as little as $1 for 14 days. You have complete access to all the course material. And I'll say you can even download the content via MP3. So you could put it in your own podcatching app and you can listen to it at your leisure. But I highly encourage people to continue your membership for one reason alone. Good friend of the show, Ryan Ridenhauer, let his membership lapse for 2 months. Then when he went back to get his membership again, they jacked the price up by, I think it was like 10% or 15%, to which he said, I should have never let it lapse. He should have just kept paying it. And I will say, once you get that $1 14-day trial, you're going to want to continue it. That's the only thing I can say because it is complete. It is course material with like a test after the fact, helping you to know how much of the content you actually absorbed. And literally every single week they're adding new content. It's very hard to go wrong with someone this active with creating content, whether you want to learn to get your Linux certification or your AWS certification. It's just a great start.
And let me point this out. For $2,600, you could get just under 99, or just over 99 years worth of 14-day trials. So you can make a lot of people very, very educated when it comes to having 2 weeks for a buck. So do you want to be selfish and spend $2,600 on yourself, or do you want to take a small nation of people and make them unlike Chad Wallenberg, the freedom hater? And I had to say that when he was mid-sip with something so he couldn't immediately respond.
Exactly.
I have no response for such blasphemy.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry.
And I will again throw myself under the bus and say, if you've ever sent me an email before and you're on the fence about this, email me back again. I will PayPal you the dollar for your first 14 days. Because trust me when I say this, it's well worth your time. Invest the time. Invest in yourself. Linux jobs are only becoming more. Linux pay is only becoming more. The longer you wait, the taller of a hill you're going to have to climb to get there. There's no better time to start than now. And if you go there, I ask you use the reference of Linux for the rest of us. If you don't use me as a reference, at least use somebody else as a reference. Give somebody credit. Don't just go join. Make sure they know you were sent there by somebody.
Hey, just to stab my little thing in here, my little thing, that's funny. Wanted to say that it's really cool that they have a configuring by 9 DNS lab, because I don't think people realize how hard, I mean, configuring by 9 is not hard, but if you've never, because it's all config files and command line, if you've never done it, I mean, by 9 runs the world, so that is really cool that they have this in here.
Well, and it's cool because you get genuine labs that you can remote into.
Yeah.
Right. For this price, to get a lab is unfathomable. I seriously don't understand how they're able to do it, but they are. Martin, for one, when he saw the lab, ears immediately perked up, and he was like, a lab? A lab? Do you realize how much it costs for a lab? He said, I paid, you know, $6,000 for some Cisco training thing. I said, I didn't get no lab. They expect me to go buy hardware to learn on. And he's like, I can't afford to buy Cisco hardware. They give you a lab, an actual environment to where you can play with to learn instead of botching up your own system.
To me, that's this fantastic. Course listing seems very practical. It's a lot of stuff that's very useful in a real job. It's not all the fluff that you see in a lot of other certifications.
Right. Like how to install the Unity desktop. You know, no, this is actual work-related stuff, dare I say, because there's two modes into Linux, hobbyist, home, desktop interface, or business. I know plenty about the home interface setup. When it comes to business, Door is definitely lacking.
I'm interested in mastering the command line. Do you know what's in there? I think that would be a really cool course to take.
It's a place where you type commands.
Well, I know, but I mean, I wonder like what the mastering part is.
To be honest, I will gladly send you $1, and you can join for the 2-week trial and see for yourself. Because quite seriously, I went into it. I looked around.
I owe you $15, so we don't even have to do that. I'll check it out.
Because there was so much in there, to be honest, when I first logged in, it was literally like too much for me to digest in one sitting.
Yeah, for sure.
Very cool. And Cody, I tip my hat. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, no problem. I'm all about the segues.
Like the mall cop segue?
Moving on.
Thanks to Ven Stone over at Linux Gaming Cast. If you want to know more about them, listen to the last episode. We went on for about 20 minutes about them. I actually understand to a degree what this is, even though I can't remember if he calls it Leadworks or Leadworks. I believe he calls it Leadworks. Leadworks is a game creation toolkit, a.k.a. Unity right now is the big one on Linux. And by the big one, I mean the only one I've heard of. I love the idea of competition. I want Leadworks to literally spank Unity and make Unity step up their Linux game creation tools and pricing. If I'm not mistaken, Leadworks has had more than a couple Kickstarters, successful Kickstarters, where they actually did put some products out. And from what I remember hearing, it was mostly all very good feedback after their products came out.
It's on Steam, dude. Enough said.
Oh, well, there you go. That's all you need.
It is totally on Steam. Like, to me, Steam is the new portal to Linux game. Like, you can get so much cool stuff on Steam on Linux now. It's ridiculous. And yes, this is on Steam.
The game creation toolkit on Steam?
Yeah, you can get
Leadworks is on Leadworks Steam. Yeah.
That just blew my mind.
Oh well, it's a special edition though.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it still blows my mind that there's a tool on Steam you can use to create games for Steam.
It's self-referential. Here's the thing though: it's the indie edition, which you can only use on Windows.
Really? No.
Well,
on Steam. The link on their page that takes you to Steam. The available formats to install this on are Windows.
Right. Coming this Monday, April the 2nd, tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
And I made sure it didn't say April 1st.
Hey. Yes. That's when Lightworks is coming out. Oh! Did I just say
Ba-doom.
That?
Yeah. I just don't even hold my breath for stuff anymore when people say that kind of stuff.
No.
Now, Chad mentioned Steam. Miles of Gaming, great podcast. Go listen to it with two hosts, one named Father, one named Son, where they go into all kinds of gamings on all kinds of platforms. And by all kinds of platforms, I mean there's a lot of stuff on iPad on the show. But There's plenty of stuff.
Yeah, we do hit a lot of iPad stuff. But yeah, we definitely hit the Linux Steam stuff, man.
Well,
Miles is big into that right now.
Well, and that was the one thing I liked. It definitely seems like, as a show, I can hear you guys go through your trends of, for these couple shows, we're on the iPad, and now we're going over to here kind of thing. I thought that was really cool.
Well, it's just a matter of, like, where we're sitting, you know? It's just, it's a matter of just, wow, look at this Steam game. Oh, look at this one. And all of a sudden, we've bought four Steam games. And then it's like, we're sitting on the couch playing the iPads, and we're like, oh, let's buy these three games and review those. You know, it's just, that's just the cycle we go through.
I forgot about that show. No. That's not a dig. That's not a slight. Here's the thing. I've never listened to it, but I'm a big gamer. I work in gaming retail. I'm just a huge gaming nerd. But when I heard about that show, I thought, oh, that's so cool. Like, I want to do that with my son, my sons, someday. I think that'd be so awesome. But then I couldn't. I guess if you haven't addressed this already, I'll call you out for this. I went to search for your podcast in Dogcatcher, and I couldn't find it.
It's just an RSS feed, so you should.
This was months ago. But I'm just saying, I don't know how much that would cost to make it more easily accessible from mobile devices, especially since you guys are reviewing games on mobile devices. It's more of a prevalent platform instead of just going to the site, plugging in, copying, pasting the RSS feed into.
You have to submit it to Dogcatcher?
I don't know. See,
I thought Dogcatcher was just an RSS feed aggregator, so you
could do it. I searched by keywords, usually for any of, like, if I'm onto a new topic, I search by keywords and then just, start downloading casts.
Well, how does that work?
Well, it will, okay. You can just enter an RSS feed and it will work, but it also does curation. So just like Stitcher, I don't want to say you have to submit your podcast for it to be on it. Sure. If you're already a popular podcast, they'll put you on.
Oh, right, of course.
But if you're not, you have to ask to be put on. And every time I've asked to be put on, they just put me on.
I will ask you this, though, Chad, as far as Steam games go. Yeah. Have you guys played Super Meat Boy?
Oh, I've seen videos of it, but I've not played it myself.
You guys, if you do an episode on Super Meat Boy, I'll just be like high-fiving myself the whole time. Or if you need a special guest, which you probably don't because you guys probably have a good chemistry, but I don't know because I've never heard the show, but I'm going to listen to it tomorrow. I could be on that episode and get you through the whole thing or send it to voicemail or something, but Super Meat Boy, you guys got to
check it out. See, the thing we do on the podcast is it's very family-friendly. So, but no, Meat Catcher is family-friendly. Yeah, anybody can play that, right?
Yeah, it's not. Actually, I don't believe it has a rating. And it, well,
I know it gets hard, man, when you're only doing stuff that's appropriate for young kids. My son's young. We don't actually. The gag on this show is that we don't tell his age, but
right,
funny.
Yeah. Or you just
the main villain might be a little bit inappropriate, but other than that, you can tell, like, oh, that's not blood, that's just meat sauce.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, violence we're okay with. It's the swearing and the content that there's about.
There's no swearing. The doctor, his name's Dr. Fetus. He's a little fetus in a jar with a monocle and a suit and a top hat.
Well, Miles and would definitely like that.
He flips the bird, but it's not really the bird. It's kind of like the Homer Simpson bird because he only has three fingers.
Oh. So,
you know what I mean? aside from that, it's a fan if you love, like, side-scrolling platformers, it's just fantastic because the guys who made it were nuts fans of, like, super classic Super Mario Brothers and, like, Mega Man 2. And
That's awesome. Yeah. It's an indie game, right? We're big. I mean, that's pretty much all we do is indie games. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen Indie Game the movie?
No, I haven't.
You guys need to sit down and watch that together and do an episode on that.
I'm not sure that's family friendly, is it?
Probably not. No, there is some swearing in the movie. Yeah.
I don't mind a little bit of swearing with him, but we won't promote it on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you should at least watch it, and if you think it would be good enough for him, because it's spawned a whole new kind of sub indie scene of people that were really inspired to make their own games based on these guys' stories.
Oh, I have so it's not really heard good. Of this. Oh my God, it looks great.
Yeah. You need to check it out.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Cool. Sorry, I ran all those things.
Yes. Sorry. See what happens when Chad gets on the show.
I'm still trying to to submit my podcast to Dog Catcher and it's not working. Like, where do I submit it? I don't even know.
He says it like half self-consciously. You know, so I planted the seed and my plan's working.
For the record, Dog Catcher site, just look at the very bottom, powered by Drupal.
Yeah. I believe it was via email, Chad.
Oh, if you want to email them? See, that's a lot of work.
If you want, as soon as the show's over, I'll shoot you the contact name.
It is a lot of work, like having to copy and paste an RSS link and then go back into your app and then paste it. It's just, ugh.
Yeah. Like, who wants to do that?
Worst case scenario, you get more listeners.
Why don't you just use Stitcher?
Why don't I just use Stitcher? Because I don't like supporting the man.
The man? Stitcher's not the man. It's a tiny little thing in the hole.
Well, I've heard about it, therefore it's the man.
I have a little bit of a gripe against both services because they both cache your data, a.k.a. your numbers don't reflect real numbers when you look at your download count.
Oh, but really?
I digress. Yeah, both of them do. But at least Stitcher gives you a login as an admin to look at your stats.
It's poor, but it's there, and they've been improving it. Yeah.
Well, and I don't log in because it's too much like work. Okay, now there's a listing over at Tux Arena of 3, 6, 7 games you can download for free on Steam on Linux. Now, yes, this is a list for people who are cheap, but this list is really for people who have, let's say, questionable feelings about Steam on Linux, and you want to see what it's all about, quote-unquote. This is your perfect opportunity to create a fake account, go log in, and download 7 free games. One's a demo, which is World of Goo. I will tell you this right now. Even on Intel hardware, I guarantee you you're going to be shocked at what kind of results you can see out of your computer via Steam. I am personally very impressed. I will say I'm a patron of Steam just because too many people I know are on Steam, play games, and this is my excuse to hang out with them. Not that podcasting isn't enough of a reason, but I also hang with them on Steam games just chatting. And there's more than a couple games on there. The one that I didn't know was Team Fortress 2. I know that was a huge game. Oh, dude.
I haven't been that since like 2001.
Oh, yeah. It's a Valve game.
Yeah, it's Valve. It started Steam. I have to say, like, people who, for whatever reason, are against Steam and Valve, like, this is it, man. They're the gaming company that are putting their balls into Linux. I mean, they really are. They're just, everything they do, they're now supporting Linux because their whole new Steam box is based on Linux. So we're getting better support than we could ever, like 5 years ago was like, the one reason I didn't like running Linux was because I couldn't play games. Now Steam is doing exactly what we want. Like, this is it. Support them, period. Like, it's,
yeah, my logic is, I look at it from a new user point of view. I understand the free software advocates that worry about them taking Linux to the side and doing secret stuff to it and not giving stuff back correctly and not giving back to the community at large via money or source code. I look at it as this breaks down a huge gateway of entry for a large percentage of people. I prefer to have a flood of new users into an operating system versus making the people who are already there feel better. And I know that came out wrong, but to be honest, I want more people on Linux.
Go ahead, sorry, Chad.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you can't cater to only your current audience.
Yes.
Well, first off, they're not encroaching on any source code whatsoever because they have their own platform, right? So they're not modifying any kind of Linux code and then hacking it away and then putting it back to the community. And second of all, the gamer community is going to receive this and then use Linux more, which benefits all of us because the more user base you get on Linux, the better Linux is going to be. So it's really win-win. I mean, of course, the hardcore purists are going to say, well, it's a proprietary platform running on top of it. Whatever. You want games on Linux? What a fantastic platform.
Well, I will say, I've heard nothing but good things about Steam assisting Intel driver development for video. I want Intel drivers to literally get up to the game muster of being competitive. And it's going to take someone like Steam to do that. And I will say, There was something on Left 4 Dead 2 on Steam I play that on my Intel graphics driver, and I'm hanging with people playing. It's just good, I don't want to say good, clean fun, because I'm shooting zombies, but it's quote-unquote good, clean fun, and I honestly want Linux Steam boxes to become competitive, too, just to disrupt the market. I'm such a fan of disruption. I want to see these people literally come in and change the game. Sure, I would love it if Valve would give a percentage of their profit to something to help something, but even video enhancements that they give back to the greater community, I take as being beneficial enough. Hell, they might come out with Optimus support because of Steam. Who knows?
There you go. Yeah, I mean, Chad, remind me while we're out in Cambridge to very loudly mention something about Steam on Linux around Jonathan, and then you can just see him get worked up like a top and just start spinning, and then you'll hear
accessibility.
Well, no, not necessarily accessibility, but more from the freedom standpoint. He and I argued at length at OLF a couple years ago about it, but it was just when it was like mildly announced. But yeah, you know, the fact of the matter is, a lot of people won't install Linux. It's like, oh, well, I can't game on it. It's like, okay, now what?
The thing about it for me is, like, why do you run Android, right? So, like, it's because everyone now runs a Linux kernel in their pocket. Like, to me, this is another way to bring the Linux kernel in competition with Xbox, PS3, and Wii. And to be honest, like, Steam could knock Wii out of the market.
Well, that's not hard these days.
It's not, but that's huge. I mean, they're not gonna. I mean, Nintendo will still always have their handheld, but I mean, there is a lot of real big buzz around that Steam box, and I'm excited about it. I really am.
Yeah, and like, here's the proof in the pudding that Valve is very smart. They're doing something very smart. They literally gave all of the Debian core developers complete access to every Steam game on Linux for free, and if I'm not mistaken, it's a continuing thing. So if you're on the Debian core team, you have complete access to Steam's library, thus helping ensure Debian's quote-unquote cooperation in the Steam box being a long-term successful solution. I think that's genius.
See, that's smart. That's just smart business. And it does, that actually does benefit the community. So there you go.
Well, I think someone like Jonathan would argue, how does it benefit the community? They're not working on the newest version. They're sitting there playing TF2 all day. I don't know why he had that.
I was wondering, was that Jonathan's voice? I like that.
Jonathan tends to pause and then like cock his head by 15 degrees and then continue along the same path. Is what I've noticed. But
I love our purists, man. But you know, the reality is like you have to have a compromise somewhere.
Yes.
Well, and here's what I'll say. I think publicly for the first time.
Oh, here we go.
I like the fact that RMS is out there, so people can see what that extreme does look like.
Yes, good example.
Yes, regardless of if I agree with him or not, I think him being there is good for the greater people at large so they can look and see what that extreme is like. But it's painfully obvious he's never been married and never will be married because everyone in life seems to at least settle on compromising to some degree, except for him. You know what I mean? Hey. Dude,
yeah, absolutely. He's
the extreme. Right, and if he can do it for the rest of his life, more power to him. Me, no. I'm going to sit here and, you know, play with my Android device and play Left 4 Dead 2 when I can. And when I can support free software, I try to, you know.
Because I don't consider playing Left 4 Dead 2 gaming. I consider it preparing for the future.
Yes. And I'll say, to end off this conversation, notice they did not let Fedora, OpenSUSE, Red Hat, CentOS, or any other Arch or anything else to have complete access to this library, but they let Debian do it. So that's another reason to not run Fedora. I don't know. I just
told that. But SteamOS is based on Debian. You're just an anything but Debian hater.
I got hater pants on. You know what, buddy?
You weren't until somebody got on this show. I think that I think Chad hung up his hater extraordinaire monocle and you put it on.
I'm wearing double monocles, baby.
All right, there we go.
There you go.
I only run Debian as well, although I just admitted that I run CentOS for Asterisk boxes, so I guess that doesn't... Yeah.
Well, here's the whole gist of it. My, Here's my whole opinion on it, to be honest. RPM seems to be more business-focused, a.k.a. even more focused towards business desktops and business servers. Debian seems to be good for public-facing web servers, maybe, and desktop and in-home server fun. But that's just an opinion. Why? Because they're all for everything. It just depends on what you like.
I'll counter that. I say that RPM-based was an American-based solution, and Debian was a German-based solution, and there's a different mantra.
I like German.
Cultures.
Hey, yeah. I like wiener schnitzels, man.
Oh, I love wiener schnitzel. Yeah. No, I honestly think there is like a little cultural difference in the way the two go about things. I love it when Debian stuff is supported.
Yeah. And my wife's trying.
I think that Chad and I can agree that Dora needs to install a modern Fedora and then report back.
Sure, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll do right after I publish this show.
Okay. All right. So it'll be sometime mid-April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We have some more links here. Oh, wait. Nope. No. That's fine.
It's almost 1 a.m. here.
Yeah, we gotta get you to bed.
Yeah, I have a important meeting tomorrow.
I have a feeling I know what that's all about. Yeah. All right. Well, Chad, thank you very much for coming on to the show. Why don't you give us some plugs, because you're on two Podnet shows now. By the way, I haven't got to talk to you since then, but welcome to the network. I don't know anything about servers. I'm trying to learn more. And
I don't
every
either.
Time...
I can't believe they asked me to get on the show. It's crazy.
Well,
I just appreciate it.
John Mad Dog Hall told me, to be an expert, all you need to know is more than who you're talking to.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Mad Dog's going to be there, right? And Nels?
Yes, sir.
I love missing Mad Dog.
And he's going to have his flask.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm definitely on Health Nuts and definitely on the server show. And back on the server show after a little bit of a hiatus. But we're back in the saddle again. And, of course, my other big flagship show is Miles of Gaming at milesofgaming.com, which,
hoorah.
Again, we just it's an experiment. It's a very young boy, which is my son, and I talking about the family and gaming experience, which I don't really think that's talked about enough.
Well, no. It isn't, and here's the whole thing. Chad gets Podcaster of the Year just for having the ability of bringing his wife on the show and having his wife talk about relative content. That blew my mind.
Yeah, well, my wife, we met as gamers, so it's kind of crazy. And that was 17 years ago or something.
We got to hear that story now. You can't just let that cat out of the bag. Let's hear it.
They were playing Zorg over the internet.
Actually, it's not that far off from that.
I believe it's called Zorg.
My wife and I met on a multi-user dungeon in 1998.
There you go.
Do you know what a multi-user dungeon is? It was called a MUD. It's a text-based
I do. A
multiplayer online role-playing game before they were graphical.
Like roguelike.
Yeah, very roguelike, except for online. It was connectivity. At first it was based through AOL, so you had to have an AOL account to play it. And then it went online when AOL went south. And we actually met through that, and So I mean, and that was odd to meet someone over the internet back in like 1998. So yeah.
So instead of Match.com, it was MUD.
It was MUD.com.
MUD.com.
No, it wasn't MUD.com. That's weird. The honest to God truth. She was a massive geek. Now she's shied away from that big time, but she's still a closet gamer. So that's how we had her on the show. Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. All my wife wants to do is play Just Dance. And to me, that's not gaming. That's
yeah, that's funny.
That's unlike you to say something hateful about gaming, Dor.
I'm just saying.
You're wearing your hater pants a little too tight.
No. Gaming has just broadened in such a way, I'm now not a fan of the complete gaming experience.
That's fine.
There's a little sum for everybody.
Dor's favorite game is Get Off My Lawn.
No, actually, it's Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
You have to upgrade your lawn chair. Every once in a while, the wicker gets a little too spent.
Yeah.
Yo, you need to make a retro pie, and then you can play that for free.
Well, yes. What I did was I bought this will be in the notes too. I bought what's called a MOGA Pocket Bluetooth handheld game controller, flip up, hold my phone, so on my 10-hour bus trip I can play Top Gear, Pro Wrestling, all kinds of old classic games on the way up. Yep. Well, there you go. What you got there? What you got there, brother?
I got one as well.
Oh, you got one of the pockets.
Yeah, I got given this at my conference last year. I got a bunch of stuff. Yeah, when I saw you with yours, I was like, oh, hey, I got one of them.
Yeah, they're only $19 brand new, $5 shipping from Amazon.com. You need 2 AAA batteries, and voila, it works.
Yeah, no, it's a cool little deal. But yeah, Miles of Gaming, I'm gonna go the extra 3 steps until Chad gets off his rear end and gets it on Dog Catcher, or maybe I should just download Stitcher. But I'll go download the catalog and start listening to it tomorrow.
I'm there. I just don't know how to get it on there. I'm gonna figure it out though, and I'm gonna put it on Dog Catcher. We'll so thanks, man. Yeah, that's cool.
And based on what Dor just said about you and on that show, I'm gonna put you in the running for Linux of the Rest of Us Father of the Year.
No, oh, come on now. I'm not yep. Definitely not that. Yeah.
You're gonna end up having to potentially go into a fist fight with Ashley Anderson, who is another listener of ours who won it last year, in order to maybe it's kind of like a battle royale. You know, we can have the champions every year, but then there has to be one. You know, kind of like Highlander.
Well, but he only really we do like Ashley, but he only really won it because we both first thought he was a woman. So we had to make him feel better by announcing.
But him I am a woman. Wait.
Never next,
mind. And that's only Ashley's parents' fault.
But that's fine. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, just real quick, I know you guys got to plug your stuff. Thank you for having me on the show again. I appreciate it.
Oh no, yeah. Oh yeah. There's what is that? Oh, is that your pie? Yeah,
that's my pie. Yes, I did already have an emulator on there, but I did not have a good quote unquote Bluetooth remote for it. Now I do, so technically I might be able to get it working on this.
Oh, dude, I bought 2 Super Nintendo controllers on Amazon for $10 each and plugged them in, and that was it.
What's the Super Nintendo interface?
You mean USB controllers and Super Nintendo
USB
shape?
Controllers. Yes.
Please, will you please find that link?
Sure, absolutely. I'll put it right here. I just bought them, so
that's awesome. Because
I would trust your judgment, just as a person that I've met online, as far as the quality.
Seems to be in real life.
That's right. Seems to be in real life. Yes, I'll let you buy me a beer. You're welcome. as far as the quality of those, because the ones I see on Amazon.
These are great. Hang on, I've got them right here. I'm gonna post them in right now.
USB.
Yeah, you just plug them into the USB ports, wow. And you've got 2 controllers. And then you set up the 2 controllers, and you can totally play 2-player games. Like my daughter and my son play the heck out of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 Super Nintendo Arcade.
Dude,
do you remember that game? I mean, we just play the heck out of that.
Dude, we went to there's this Wings place near the University of Oregon that we go to when I'm in town there, and I went there with some coworkers of mine. And they had this, like, it was an arcade cabinet, but it had a bunch of different games on it. And that was on the machine when I went up there. And I said, you guys need to give me 20 minutes. And I just went and got some quarters, and I ignored everything. I played that for, dude, probably close to half an hour. I went back. My food was there. I was just like, whatever. I don't care.
So this is the sick thing. Like, we have Xbox, we have Wii, and now we have this RetroPie. My kids, and it's funny, my parents do too, because my parents live about 20 minutes away from here. When they come over, like, they're all playing Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Atari games constantly. Nice. Like, they're just the greatest games. I mean, you talk about all the Final Fantasy games. Like, Final Fantasy IV was on Super Nintendo. It's one of the best games ever made. You got all the Zeldas. They have Sega Genesis on the RetroPie. I just suggest getting the RetroPie and just, like, going to town. Like, it's crazy. So for $30 for the board, another couple dollars for the case, and then these 2 controllers for, like, under $70, you can play every daggone game you ever imagined when you were a kid. It's phenomenal.
We got to stop this show.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm going to need to find out how I can swindle $20 from the wife's account.
But okay. I did post the Amazon link to the Super Nintendo controllers. They're totally quality, and they totally work with all the games.
Yep, and there will be a link in the notes to the RetroPie, which I know I should have heard of, but I don't remember.
The Debian base is the one I would suggest.
Gotcha.
The Raspbian.
Raspbian? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool. Oh, man. Well, you know what? I have a Pi just sitting here not doing anything. I found a use for one of them.
New project.
Oh my god. Yeah. But this is one that will have immediate fruits of the labor. So.
That's right.
Whew. So yes, Chad, thank you very much. And I look forward to seeing you before this show. No, after. Yeah.
No, he's going to publish it, so it's only after this show.
It'll be in a few days.
I'm getting in at noon on Friday, so anytime you get in, after this, we'll get our phone numbers and we'll
Yeah, totally. Okay, cool.
867-5309.
867.
What's the area code, though, Dor?
1-800?
Speaking of phone numbers, I'm going to get this wrong.
707-65.
Shut up. Oh, I was going to go to the China. I knew. Martin is laughing right now.
Good.
I knew it was 707-SICK-POD-NET because I just called. Okay, spoiler alert. I just called in. Well, it's not really a spoiler. I called in. I left an awesome voicemail for Android App Addicts that most of the hosts will enjoy. And I had to dial 707-676-3688 in order to leave that voicemail. So that was good.
I liked it. I thought it was a fantastic voicemail.
You haven't even listened to it yet.
Yes,
I have. Oh, yeah, you have.
Did they come to me? Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, no, I came to your defense like a knight in shining armor. Yeah, because let's face it, Dora, even though he's the champion of that show, he gets bullied a little bit.
Hey, that's okay. You know why? Because I'm a man. I can take it.
Oh, trust me, I know all about you telling me that you're a man.
Exactly.
And I'm going to hear a lot of it in 3 or 4 days. But we got to end this show.
I'm going to probably be too tired.
Oh, no. I know what happens to you when you get to... Yeah, anyhow. I wanted to... Well, dude, everybody's not going to be buying you beer. Shut your mouth. Especially Richard Hughes. Let's try to get a keg in his plane and then take off. That'd be fun. Speaking of Nelf, I want to give a little mild teaser. This is almost 99% confirmed, but we have a listener who's sending me his GoPro camera.
Oh, yeah.
He wants some footage of what it's like to be Cody Cooper at a Linux Fest. So I don't know if we're going to post that anywhere, but...
I don't know. All I know is I don't know if I'm going to be around when that camera's on.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
incriminating you are. Evidence.
Well, if we post anything anywhere, we will make sure to very carefully edit it. But yeah, so that's what we're talking. I'm kind of excited. It's going to be a GoPro, so I'm excited to get play around with that.
Oh, yeah. And just the last quickie thing I'm going to say is I almost forgot. InstaRad.io, InstaRadio, InstaRad.io/podnuts is where I'm going to, if I can, stream quote unquote live content from the fest, and you'll be able to listen to it after the fact.
Oh, very cool. Rambo Obando joining us at the very closing.
Look at that beard. He's ready.
Chad's like, what? Are you Martin Obando?
I've known you for ages online. I didn't know that's who you were.
Oh, my. I gotta turn this.
That's freaking hilarious.
You don't have your mic on.
Suck. Anyways, I'll use the camera mic.
That's okay.
Somebody needs this mic.
Do you have somebody to contribute to the show before we end off?
Oh, I'm alive.
Yeah, you're on the show.
Yeah. Oh, I thought the show was over.
No, you just came in the chat. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Hey, Pimpin' Geeksters tomorrow night.
Tomorrow is when?
Tomorrow. It's Tuesday. Tuesday night.
But this show's going to air sometime in July 2015.
All right. I'm sorry. You're right. Tuesday night, Geeksters, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. Hey, don't get mad at me. It's 707-6-PODNUTS. I know how to dial it.
That's the only reason you came on here was just about the phone number. I swear to God, I'm going to put that on a paper strip underneath my monitor from now on. It's just going to be huge. It's going to be right there.
Right, never next to your forget password. Again.
That's right. No, that will be my password. So just log into my account. We got to end this show. Dor's tired. Okay. Yes, so speaking of Northeast Linux Fest, please go to northeastlinuxfest.org. Register if you're going to be at the fest. It will help us, it will help Jonathan Rather and those people who are going to be helping him organize the event, which we are included in that, know how many people to prepare for. It's going to be an awesome weekend, a lot of good information. Everybody here on the show will be involved in a speaking engagement in one way or another. And of course, the driving force of Northeast Linux Fest, of course, another passionate project of Jonathan's is the ACF.co, which is the Accessible Computing Foundation, bringing digital sight to those who need it, helping people with disabilities get computer usage into their lives and really making a benefit of it. You can become a regular contributor for as little as $2 a month, so please head over to the ACF.co, and every single time I see that money come out of my PayPal account, I know that it's going to a fantastic cause. You can send in a voicemail to 7076-PODNUT. That, of course, is 707-676-3688. If you want to send us an email, please send it to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. Or if you want to send me an email directly, you can send it to cody@podnuts.com. As always, if you want to support the show, if you're going to be making purchases on Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. It's just a little way to help us out with purchases you might be making anyway. And we really appreciate the help because we've been using that money for some really, really good things lately. So we really do appreciate all of your support. And as always, please remember that Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.